Money podcast. It's Friday, the 7th of November. I'm Stephanie Youssef, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Today, the ASX 200 fell 0.66% to 8,769.7. Despite that, six of the 11 sectors ended higher, led by telecommunication services, while information technology was the worst performing sector. It marks a second consecutive weekly drop for the index, which has lost 1.26% over the last five sessions. For more on this and Tesla approving Elon Musk's $1 trillion pay package, I spoke with Heath Moss, portfolio manager at HLM Investments. So Heath, the ASX appears to be reversing yesterday's gains. What's driving the markets today?
Yeah, look, it's mainly being driven by weak markets overnight in the US, having the most say with the S&P 500 down around 1.1%, NASDAQ off almost 2%, and the Dow Jones down 0.8%. Now, this was all on the back of a bit of poor economic data we saw in the US with the Challenger Job Series showing 153K layoffs in October, which was the most in 22 years for October, and 1 million across the year overall. But, I mean, we have to take into effect that 300,000 of that have been the federal DOGE cuts, the federal job cuts there. So take that, those with a pinch of salt. But it's second-tier data like this that is gaining a lot more attention at the moment, simply because, obviously, we had the government shutdown in the US. So tier one data, such as the NFE jobs data, which was supposed to be out tonight that we're not getting, and the CPI data, we're not getting that at the moment. So more of this second tier data, like we saw with the ISM services PMI and the ADP numbers a couple of nights ago, are getting a lot more focus over in the US at the moment as, you know, indicators of where the economy is at. And then, of course, we have the Supreme Court deciding the fate of Trump's tariff policy, which could get a little bit messy. Overall, there seems to be a level of uncertainty there of what's going to happen there. Poly market suggests about a 75% chance that something has to change with these tariffs moving forward. But again, like I said, it's more about the uncertainty starting to creep into the markets. We've been through Q3 earnings numbers now, which were fairly strong, but the market's starting to focus on the fact that the government is still shut down, and we do have this Supreme Court ruling hangover heads when it comes to trade policy.
So Tesla's shareholders have approved Elon Musk's massive $1 trillion pay deal that could see him become the world's first trillionaire over the next decade. But it's only if he achieves a number of ambitious goals, like boosting the company's stock valuation to $8.5 trillion. What do you think of these goals? Are they actually achievable?
Yeah, I think some of these goals include like selling 12 million cars and 1 million humanoid robots, which may seem a little far-fetched now, but when Musk started his journey and started with Tesla, you know, most said he would never sell 500,000 cars, let alone the 2 million they sell per annum per year now. So I wouldn't bet against Musk. It seems a long way away, but I would never bet against him. But if you're a shareholder and he can add that much value to your company, then no doubt you're going to be happy to hand over that sort of package if he can deliver you, you know, 4 to 6 times the value of your current holding. But mind you, this is mainly nominal, so it's all in mostly in stock options. So if he doesn't hit these targets, he doesn't get his payday. But also there was a concern that it clears the path for Tesla moving forward as well. Musk was concerned that his voting rights were being diluted. And that was because a lot of big funds and ETFs were now major shareholders in the company and had the voting rights, could easily vote away anything they didn't want to. And it also opened the door for activists, et cetera. But this package gives him, I think, an extra 12% of voting rights. So this means his longer-term plans for AI and robotics, Optimus, et cetera, it clears the path for that and gives him almost full control to do what he wants to do and alleviate some of those fears as well.
So with that stock valuation, they're currently valued at around $1.5 trillion. They're nowhere near where, say, NVIDIA is. NVIDIA's past the $5 trillion mark. So do you think they could be on track to reach $8.5?
Yeah, definitely. There's every chance. I mean, you know, a few years ago, if you told me NVIDIA was going to be a $5 trillion company, I would have probably laughed it right off. But given of where AI is at and the projections for AI's growth and the influence on the human race, and I think the net benefit, then definitely if Musk and Tesla are to pull off what their ambitious plans are, then no doubt 8.5 trillion could be in their sights.
Another thing that happened overnight is the Bank of England left interest rates on hold, and they hinted at a December rate cut despite inflation there remaining stubbornly high, way above their target. Do you think there are any takeaways from that decision for the RBA to consider here ahead of its next meeting?
I don't think there's too much we can draw from the Bank of England, given how different our economies are. But except that maybe the RBA wants to avoid the UK situation as much as it can. They have higher than expected inflation, driven mainly by higher wages, which is stubbornly hard to get down. A slowing economy, which puts them in danger of hitting that stagflation sort of cycle. You obviously want to avoid that at all costs. So, I think maybe, I mean, a long bow to draw is maybe don't be afraid to support your economy with cuts, and be bold rather than reactionary, as often it's too late when the data comes in and you do start cutting. But fortunately for the RBA, our wage growth is softening along with the labour market. Our inflation is mainly being driven by energy rebates rolling off and sticky services inflation. Caused by high aggregate demand. But now, if the labour market continues to soften, that will help with the services inflation come down. And the RBA are now forecasting that trimmed mean inflation will come back to the middle of its target band by the end of 2026, start of 2027.
In Sweden, we believe in just the right amount, embracing balance, minimalism, and simplicity, something that Volvo believe in too. And when it comes to choosing your next car, we believe in just the right amount of choice between petrol, plug-in hybrid, and fully electric. There's a Volvo for everyone. So visit your local Volvo retailer to learn which one is right for you. Volvo.
So we've spoken about Tesla. What is some other company news catching your attention today?
First up, and probably the biggest, is Macquarie Group's first half results, which came out this morning. They reported a $1.655 billion net profit after tax, which is 3% higher than the corresponding period last year. But it did miss market expectations of a $1.81 billion profit. Revenue came in at around 8.72 bill, which was slightly higher than expected, and 5% on year. But the dividend was lower than expected at $2.80 per share versus $3.03. The result was mainly driven by a higher fee collection, offset by some of their renewable asset impairments. A lower commodity trading activity also weighed on the result. But the growth of their bank and financial services arm, which is a new focus for Macquarie, was impressive, and that was up 22%. Their outlook is broadly unchanged for the year, but that means the second half has a lot of heavy lifting to do to meet their $4.2 billion forecast profit for the year. The second stock and company news is probably from Qantas. They had their AGM today with a brief trading update. They're saying they're still seeing strong trading conditions. The domestic unit revenue is seeing 3% growth. So that's at the lower end of the band they gave us in August, which was 3% to 5% growth. So they're only seeing 3% growth now, with leisure and resources travel strong, but they're seeing slower than anticipated growth in the corporate sector. So they're still seeing some slow growth there since COVID. The international revenue growth is still expected to be unchanged at plus 2% to 3% with stable demand. And they're not seeing the US shutdown at the moment impacting results. And also on the back of this, Macquarie is actually down 8% for the day today, and Qantas is down about 6% on the back of this.
And finally, what are you telling your customers at the moment, and where are the opportunities for investors?
Look, it's just to be wary of the stretched valuations in both here in the US, and it wouldn't take us much to correct, you know, 10 to 20% at all. But if we did so, it would be an excellent long-term buying opportunity. However, I do see some value in the Australian tech sector now, which is off almost 12% where it was from its highs. And this is versus the NASDAQ, which is only down about 4%. So leading names such as ResMed, Pro Medicus, WiseTech, Technology One, REA Group, Xero, these were all seen as big drivers of the sector and momentum to start the year and in 2024. And then now the laggards are being sold off, and they're off anywhere between 10 to 40%, depending on who you're talking about. So I just feel some of these names represent a decent opportunity long-term and subject just to repricing of risk rather than any concerns around earnings at all.
That was Heath Moss from HLM Investments. And that's all for today. If you haven't already, please subscribe to On the Money on whichever platform you get your podcasts. I'm Stephanie Youssef. Thank you for joining me.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided by Decision.
In Sweden, we believe in just the right amount, embracing balance, minimalism, and simplicity. Something that Volvo believe in too. And when it comes to choosing your next car, we believe in just the right amount of choice. Between petrol, plug-in hybrid, and fully electric, there's a Volvo for everyone. So visit your local Volvo retailer to learn which one is right for you. Volvo.